Good morning and welcome to The Breakfast Show. You are listening right across Australia on 87.6, 87.8 or 88, wherever you are on the Faith FM network this morning. You are joined by myself, Lawson, and sitting across from me in the studio is my good friend, Joseph. Joseph, how are you doing this morning?
I am doing really well, Lawson. Thank you. How are you doing?
Oh, man, I'm killing it. I'm winning. I mean, I had a really good weekend. I've been kind of fading in and out of good health and bad health over the last week. It's been a bit ambiguous, like sometimes feeling good, sometimes feeling bad. I think a lot of people I know have like called COVID and whatnot. It's just been floating around. A lot of the guys I walk past in the dormitory here at Watson Hall, you know, and say, hey, what's up? And they're like, hey, man, yeah, I'm good, you know, that kind of thing. So I myself have been navigating that kind of world, but I feel like I've come out of it now. I woke up early this morning. I had some assignments to finish.
Yeah, you look full of energy to me.
So yeah, I woke up.
That's great.
Hey, we are stoked to have you here with us this morning, Joseph. After being, mate, off gallivanting around the world for a little while, right?
Yes.
Yeah. How was your experience? I believe you're in South America for a bit and North America for a bit. How was that?
Yeah, it was great. We went to Brazil, mm-hmm. where I'm from originally. Mm-hmm. We preached a series about the life of Jesus.
Wow. There.
So that was very exciting. It was the first time that I was preaching in my own language, my own mother language. Wow. In this way. And then after that, we went to the United States, mm-hmm. and there we had the opportunity to meet with other Christians, people that are making a difference mm-hmm. in the community and really get inspired by their story. So yes, now we're back. And I'm so glad to be here. And that not only with you, but with all of our listeners today.
Yeah. Shout out the Faith FM listeners this morning that are tuning in on this beautiful, chilly Monday morning. It feels like, okay, we're starting to feel the winter chill coming through and whatnot here in the Newcastle.
Coming up in today's show,
we are both going to be profiling a little bit one of the historical events that took place over the weekend. We'll St. Patrick's Day, specifically looking at St. Patrick, who he was. We're also going to be doing an interview with Justin Lawman regarding politics and prophecy and continuing our Bible study through the Psalms.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
Joined by myself, Lawson. We've got Joseph in the studio, just some struggles with the headphones. Dude, everyone who comes in here, the studio headphones get them because they like wrap around and go different ways and whatnot, and people get, you know, a bit locked up, a bit confused, but that's okay. Hey, you're listening to The Breakfast Show. Hey, Joseph, would you be able to get for us our first quiz question for this week?
Yes, of course. So the first question is, Eutychus fell out of a window and died during what event? Mm. So that is a story in the New Testament mm-hmm. where there is this boy called Eutychus mm-hmm. and he was sleeping mm-hmm. and he fell out of a window and something was happening. Yeah. During that time, what was that?
Yeah, if you know the answer, hey, 0491-064-669, let us know. And if you do, you're going to the draw to win an amazing prize that we have for this week. It's God Cares, a 2-volume set. Basically, this is by C. Mervyn Maxwell and going through the books of Daniel and Revelation, these incredible prophetic books pointing to, well, throughout all history and then to the end of time, how it is that God has worked, the things that he said would happen, how they happened, and then finally, how it is that this grand story of salvation and humanity comes to an end with Jesus' return.
What a great gift.
And I'm going to say, you know, regarding Daniel and Revelation, me and Joseph and I, we have a pretty special connection. You know, the first Bible study I think I ever received in my life, outside of being at school, was in your house when I would have been 17 years old and, you know, coming along on Friday nights and whatnot. And we were, and I think what turned me on to God or got me interested in God was those sessions at your place. You know, it was before you had kids, it was you and Camilla, your wife, and a group of other, you know, Bible workers and young people there. But getting, you know, opening these kinds of passages in the Bible, Daniel and Revelation in particular, were so transformational for my life and many young Christians as well, who are maybe unsure about the Bible and whatnot, young, old, whatever it may be, they come into contact with these kinds of passages, Daniel and Revelation, and it's life-changing.
It is. I agree. I have a similar experience, Lawson, and yes, it's true. Our story together goes way back, yeah. So I'm so glad that we are sitting here together doing this show.
Doing some radio, together. Yeah.
But, you know, Daniel and Revelation are so important because in this day and age, I believe we need to have a very intelligent faith.
There are
people challenging the faith of Christians all over the place. However, knowing that the scriptures actually had the capacity to foresee the future accurately, that boosts my faith. It feels like I'm in a real solid ground.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you want to ever have me seen me becoming an atheist, you have to unexplain a lot of these prophecies, and good luck trying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because this affirms to me that scriptures is indeed supernatural. Now, if we can trust the scriptures because they are supernatural, it also means that I can trust in the character of the God who inspired those scriptures. And that also means that I can trust the lessons and the life that the scriptures have for me as well.
Absolutely. So, guys, you want these books, essentially. That's what we're trying to say. 0491-064-669. Again, Eutychus fell out of a window and died during what event? Give us a text. Let us know.
By the way, do you know what Eutychus mean? What's the meaning of names? I have a thing. I love to know the meaning of names. Yes. Eutychus comes from Greek, meaning good luck. Eu means good, and Tychus means luck or fate. And speaking of good luck, I think that leads us into our story about someone that is actually thought about and remembered because of luck, his associations with luck. Who are we talking about, Lawson?
Yeah, we're talking about St. Patrick, actually. And that's a great segue because I actually wanted to talk about interacting with St. Patrick's Day. Like, my background is Irish. My dad's family and lineage is very English. My last name is Walters, which is like an English version of like a old German name, but it's an English sized version from, you know, like 500, 600 years ago. Very English, you know. My dad's family is like convicts, but my mum's side, like my mum's maiden name is Fitzpatrick, which is deeply Irish. Wow. Like, my mum has red hair. I don't have red hair, but I grow a red beard, you know, like Irish. That's like our heritage, our lineage and whatnot on my mum's side. And then, you know, St. Patrick's Day comes up, a very big holiday in Ireland. And then you look at some of the discourse, the modern discourse around St. Patrick's Day and just the secular media. And it's like, how lucky are you going to be on St. Patrick's Day? And it's four leaf clovers and it's wearing green and it's drinking lots of alcohol. And it's stuff that is so irrelevant to the historical St. Patrick, who he was and what he was about. Because the historical St. Patrick was a man of faith. He was inspiring. He was incredible. And I know in your section, I'm going to talk about the prayer life of St. Patrick, and we're going to talk about his spirituality. But I think what I want to talk about is maybe dispelling some of the myths surrounding St. Patrick.
All right, send it. I want to know about it.
I think the biggest one being that St. Patrick is mostly, well, St. Patrick's Day is mostly a Catholic holiday, but St. Patrick wasn't necessarily Catholic. At that time, there wasn't a clear distinction between Catholicism and Protestantism. The Protestant Reformation, you know, wouldn't come into its full swing until 1,000 years later.
That's right.
But there were people practicing Christianity outside of the realm of the Catholic Church. And at that time as well, the Catholic Church, as we know it, in terms of the, you know, establishes the papacy. When we're talking about the 4th and 5th century AD, it wasn't, again, in its full, you know, global swing as the papacy that it would come to be known as in the medieval dark ages. St. Patrick was rather an incredibly convicted Christian, someone who became convicted, who came into a knowledge of God. And what has been made clear, you know, by historians about St. Patrick, there are some people who theorize that there are two different St. Patricks, like it's actually literally two different people. But most scholars say that, hey, there is a historical St. Patrick, and then there's some kind of legends about him that have developed over the years. The legends is that he's this incredibly smart, charismatic guy who, again, well, the one story that's retained is that he was a missionary to Ireland. But what we see about the historical St. Patrick is that he was very uneducated. And very humble about that fact. He considered himself as the least among all potential Christian missionaries. He wasn't, you know, commissioned by the Pope to go and reach Ireland as a Jesuit or whatever it may be, as a studied prelate or a priest, but he was just someone who had interacted with the Word of God, who had interacted with other Christians, and became convicted of the fact that Jesus Christ was his Savior, that Jesus lived and died and resurrected for his sake. He died in his place, and that this needed to be shared in what was at the time, you know, Roman Britain and Ireland, that was, you know, for the most part practicing paganism, that was not living up to any holy ideals. He's like, I need to share with these people the truth. And, you know, he would go through all kinds of different difficulties through that, some trials and challenges of poverty and slavery and whatnot. But ultimately, St. Patrick would be this incredible light to the Irish and is regarded as the person to convert Ireland, to lead Ireland to the truth. You know, it's beautiful, again, just his reasoning regarding why he wants to do this. And as I mentioned before, his deep humility. I think out of everything, the story of St. Patrick is that of anyone can be called to serve God. And if you serve him faithfully, the results are amazing, you know, unprecedented, even no matter what humble position you come from. Now, simultaneously, some of us are just potentially called for the rest of our lives to do very humble things and to see humble results. You know, God does say clearly from his word that when it goes out, it will return to him 100-fold, that any efforts that are made to live for him, to share him in this world, will be beneficial to the world around us. And I think for all of us, we have a circle of influence in which we can reach. And if we start there, then, you know, from there, I think the message can grow. But same thing was for St. Patrick. He started in his circle of influence. He started with his fellow peasants, his fellow people in poverty, but then just went further and further and further to greater and greater and greater lengths to share the gospel, and would see such a wide sweeping conversion within Ireland. So I think the message that we can take from St. Patrick's Day isn't, hey guys, let's, you know, have some fun and go get drunk and whatever it may be. We definitely don't recommend that. Stay away from alcohol. But rather, hey, let's be humbled and realize that this uneducated peasant was used by God to convert an entire nation. If that's the case for St. Patrick, then why can't it be the case for us that God would do something amazing when we submit our life?
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
Joined by myself, Lawson. We've got Joseph in the studio as well. Joseph, would you be able to get for us our next quiz question?
Of course. Our next quiz question, and if you know the answer, do send us a message to 0491-064-669. I repeat, 0491-064-669. Which of the following was not a part of the outfit priests were to wear?
Okay.
So, A, ephod, B, turban, C, breastplate, or D, gloves. So I'm giving you a number of items that yeah, a priest could potentially wear, and I want you to tell us which one of these were not part of the uniform. So this is a not question, so you have to give me the wrong answer.
Yeah.
That's the right answer.
That's what we're looking for.
That's what he's not wearing. So he was not wearing an ephod, a turban, a breastplate, or the gloves.
Yeah, and it's A, B, C, or D as well. A, ephod, B, turban, C, breastplate, or D, gloves. What was the priest not wearing? If you know the answer, again, that number 0491-064-669. Of course, God Cares, the 2-volume set, Daniel and Revelation, these amazing commentaries through these books that reveal so much of God's power to, you know, tell the future, but furthermore, how it is that God will work throughout history and what it looks like for us. I think standing here, seeing the time winding down and expecting Jesus's return. What does it look like for us? Where should we be looking? What should we be doing? Hey, that's what these books get into. Again, that number 0491-064-669. What was it that the priest didn't wear? Ephod, turban, breastplate, or gloves? You're listening to The Breakfast Show here on Faith FM. What is happening in the space of St. Patrick's Day for you, Joseph?
So St. Patrick's Day was yesterday. Mm-hmm. That was in commemoration of the date of St. Patrick's death.
Yeah.
So St. Patrick, as you were saying very well, Lawson, is usually related or associated with luck or drinking beer or four-leaved clubs and all these kinds of things.
Irish people and the Catholic Church, you know.
However, there was a man called Aaron Burns, an author, a Christian author, who just released a book called Praying with St. Patrick. And his idea is to dispel the myths about St. Patrick by shedding light into his true life and his spirituality. Yeah, and he did that through a 40 days devotional book. And in an interview that he did with a media outlet, Christian Post, Aaron Burns talks about the deeply spiritual and prayerful nature and life of St. Patrick. So a few things. So number one, St. Patrick, when he was about your age, when we first met, about 15, 16, he actually didn't want anything to do with prayer, anything to do with religion, or any of that which he considered a nonsense until he was kidnapped by Irish pirates at the age of 15, and then he was taken over to Ireland. He was born originally in Scotland, and at the age of 15, he was kidnapped and taken to Ireland. And you know what he did there? For 6 years, he worked as a slave, tending sheep in the mountains of Ireland. And that is when he started to pray.
I can imagine, right? Going through kidnapping and slavery, like if there was anything to turn you to God, it would be something like that. And he's in this situation like, oh, I have nothing left, you know? I have nothing else to do.
And look, he was taught as a boy to pray. So that education that his parents gave him, they surfaced at the time of great need. And this is where his faith started to become real. This is where God was helping him to go through his incredible sufferings and trials. And then finally, God miraculously allowed him to escape. And as he was praying, he heard God saying to him, "Now that you are home. He was in Ireland.
Yeah, wow.
But he heard God say, "Now that you're home, I'm calling you to take the love of Christ to the people who had slaved you."
Wow.
Isn't this amazing? And when we pray, God often stretches us. He often takes us out of our comfort zone. And he often talks us to love even those who have hurt us. And that was his journey. And, you know, throughout the book, Aaron Burns, the author, he goes through St. Patrick's life from his, you know, boyhood all the way through his coming of age and then becoming a slave and his later life after that as well. And there were two prayers by St. Patrick that inspired the book. The first prayer is that St. Patrick prayed the following. He prayed, "I pray that I would be able to have spiritual descendants." I'll continue. He said, "I never had kids of my own, but I would love to leave a spiritual legacy that people would follow Christ the way that I did."
Wow.
That was his prayer. And you know what happened? I believe that this prayer has been answered because even before his death, St. Patrick saw Ireland eradicating human trafficking that he himself was a victim of.
Yeah.
And you know, for the next 300 years, Christianity blossomed in Ireland and him being the first missionary to talk about the love of Christ.
You know what I love here about his story is the idea that, like, he was a victim of, you know, slavery and whatnot. And then he would want to see social justice in a sense for this. Like, he would want to see justice. He'd want to see slavery and human trafficking come to an end. But the way in which he purposed to do so was not necessarily to just attack the industry itself. You know, he didn't set himself up as like the anti-slavery guy, but rather said, no, the only person who can break this stronghold is Christ.
Yes.
Because Christ needs to do a work in the hearts of these people.
Absolutely.
To bring it to an end.
And one of the practices of the Irish people back in the days was child sacrifices.
Yeah.
And that also ended within the lifespan of St. Patrick. Tremendous is the power of the word of God to break off strongholds,
yeah,
as you well mentioned. But there was a second prayer that hasn't yet been fulfilled or hasn't been granted by St. Patrick. And this is one of the reasons why Aaron Burns decided to write and release his book. Mm. The second prayer was that he said, and I quote, "I pray that anyone who hears of St. Patrick wouldn't think of me, but think of Christ and what God has done."
Mm.
So St. Patrick, he never wanted to be famous. Mm. What all that he wanted is that people will think of Jesus Christ whenever they think of his name. There's actually one famous prayer by St. Patrick called the breastplate prayer. Mm. Have you heard about this prayer before?
No, I've never heard
of it. It's a long prayer, and our listeners can Google that, and they're very interesting. However, I will read to you just the end part of that prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Look how beautiful. It's a prayer for protection.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me."
Yeah, wow.
He would pray that every day
as
part of his journey, you know, of consecrating himself to God.
Yeah, that's powerful. I mean, this is a person who is just sold to the idea that their whole entire purpose is to live for Christ. And I love that too, because a very real change happened as a result. Like obviously we value so much the spiritual change that would happen in Ireland, but the spiritual change also reflects as well the very real social change that was taking place, like the ending of historical religious practices that like would have been practiced for hundreds and thousands of years. Yes. It just comes to an end. I'm talking about human sacrifice, of course, like comes to an end as a result of St. Patrick's devotion to sharing the word of God. And I think fulfilled, you know, very much so the breastplate prayer that people saw in him Christ and said, "I want to be like this. I want to see a change in my life. And furthermore, I want to have a real sincere faith." You know, big changes like that only come from sincerity.
Absolutely.
And so it's beautiful that it's taking place.
So I'd like to encourage all of our listeners, next time that you hear about St. Patrick, you know, tell your friends about his life, about him being a slave and God transforming him and really leading a revolution through a very humble man who was by no means a perfect person by any standards, but as someone that was fully sold to the love of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
And if you want to learn how to pray better, stay tuned, because we're going to look into that in our Bible study later on.
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
And right now we come to our next quiz question. If you can get that for us, Joseph, please.
Yes, that's a fill-in-the-blank question from Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in... And then you have to fill in the blank.
Yeah.
So if you have a Bible close to you, just look at Psalm 46, verse 1. Or if you know that psalm by heart, you know, activate your memory and tell us, what word do we need to fill in that blank? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in
blank. 0491-064-669 is the number to text. Again, those amazing prizes, the books of Daniel and Revelation, God Cares, the two-volume set, opening up these passages, opening up the power of them and how they just, reveal the history and the future. It's just amazing. Really amazing stuff. Again, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in blank. 0491-064-669 is the number to text. On the phone for our interview today, we have, as usual on most Mondays, none other than Justin Lawman to talk to us about all things politics and prophecy. Justin, good to hear from you, mate.
Yeah, you too, brother. And who is that with you? Is that Joseph?
Oh, big Joseph, mate. Stoked to have him in. You know Joseph, don't you?
Mate, when I think of Joseph, I think of one thing.
What's that?
Hummus.
Oh, true.
Well, not wanting to brag, but I do know how to make a wicked hummus.
Yeah.
Mate, pardon me, my
friend. This guy knows hummus like no one else I know.
That's so good.
I brag myself to be a little bit of a hummus connoisseur. If our listeners are interested in knowing the recipe or the tricks, just send us a message to 0491-064-669 with the word hummus.
What's the connection?
It's got a Lebanese
there?
Slant. His hummus is
Oh, that's
slant.
What it is. Because I'm like, you're special. Brazilian. But okay, the Lebanese. Yeah.
I have a Lebanese heritage, so I grew up eating hummus. So I know how to discern good hummus from bad. It's like a spiritual discernment of sorts. You know that you need to have.
It's a gift. It's a gift. That's powerful. Hey, the good hummus, we've got it here on Faith FM. It'll be a blessing to you.
But and to the listeners, you haven't had hummus until you've had some of Joseph's hummus.
I also rate, you know, his wife Camilla, they've made me baba ganoush, you know, the smoked eggplant. It's just the best. Oh, man, just incredible food, incredible cooking.
I haven't had breakfast yet, man. What are you doing to me?
We're salivating here in the studio as well. But hey, look, Justin, what is happening in the politics and prophecy space?
Politics, politics, politics. I want to get into some politics, but I have to mention cryptocurrency to you.
Oh, tell me about
I've neglected it for weeks because it's going spastic.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not allowed to use that word, am I? It's going off. It's going off.
Yeah.
And what's going on with gold? Gold is at record high, $2,155, I think, an ounce American.
Wow.
Folks, your house has never been worth more. It's people are fleeing to crypto because our fiat currency, the currency that's issued by governments through their different systems, is failing because of the debt levels. So I'm not into crypto personally, but I've got a lot of mates that are, and they're excited how much money they're making. America is trying to set up a digital currency that they can get the ultimate control. If you had a digital currency and everything happened through that, cash, they hate cash because cash cannot be traced. So there's a lot going on in the world of economics. The debt levels have not stopped. They've increased. I talk to you guys all the time saying every 100 days you're doing $1 trillion. They've got to stop, but they actually haven't. They've dug down deeper. So I won't talk about politics, but who's going to win the next election in the United States, Lawson? We just saw Labor get a smashing in Queensland over the weekend.
Well, you know, to consider, you know, who's going to win, because like I think going into the 2020 elections, it was a lot of people were saying, I think, you know, Trump's got the victory again. And obviously that's not what took place. But coming into this election, I think particularly like the fact that they're not going to have a presidential debate between the two parties, and that is very much reflective of the kind of state that Joe Biden's in right now, and his desire to not be put up on a podium with Trump, in, you know, I think relating to maybe mental fortitude or whatever it may be.
Maybe.
Yeah, potentially.
Just a little bit.
But look, I think it does reflect the tide shifting, and, you know, we're seeing a bit of a red tide, you know, halfway through the last presidential period that we've just had over the last 4 years, it was seen that, you know, at the beginning of 2022, this is when the red tide will come. And then, you know, it wasn't to be. But now I think the debt being a central issue to this upcoming election, and really it being the Democrats that have enabled such explosion in that space, I think a lot of Americans are becoming tired, wanting to see change.
Illegal immigration's their other big issue too. It's just they're getting swamped. But here's the thing. Trump came out a day ago, speech he made. He said, if I don't win, it will be a bloodbath.
Wow.
Yeah, that's he's not known as being terribly responsible sometimes.
Yeah, he's already been on trial for like the last 4 years for inciting, riots and insurrection.
Play it safe, but no.
So what do you think that he's referring to, Justin? Is he referring to civil war? Or?
Yeah, I do believe that. No, I've said for a while, if his side, I call the populists the angry mob. That's what took over Germany in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
I just say up front that I identify with that side of politics, not populism, but the conservative side of politics. That's me. But if they don't win, just say Trump, for some reason, Biden somehow pulls this out of the fire, and he would have to pull it out of the fire. I think that creates such a danger for violence because that will be – there's not a lot of things left for angry people if they can't get their way through normal democratic means. And I don't want to, be extreme here, but for the leader to come out and say that gives you an insight. I don't think he's far off the money. I think this is very close to getting violent. Mm. The division in that country, I hope it doesn't come to Australia.
Mm.
I hope we can say, yep, your turn now. We'll let the other guys have a go for a while. And this is what Australians tend to do. In America, it's become so polarized.
Yes.
I think it's dangerous. And no one's stepping back. They're making extreme statements on each side, and they're just running into this. So pray for that country, because their fortunes affect the whole globe. And right now, if the populists don't win in November, I think we're going to really have the potential to see violence.
Yeah.
Coming to the political process.
Well, it reminds me, Justin, a little bit of the beginning of Psalm 2, where it says, why are the nations in an uproar? And it seems like we are in a time of real social, political, religious convulsion. And America is just that very visible part of that, volcano.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. We have to pray, because whatever happens there will have ripple effects here.
Yeah, and I think something that's also been made clear over the last 4 years is that both sides of politics can incite violence in order to try and retaliate or to try to get what they want. You know, we saw whether it was through BLM and it was, the left side of politics, violence and rioting and whatnot through that side in response to times in which they felt like injustice had been done to them. And then simultaneously, whether it was January 6th and whatnot, where it was the right-hand side of politics that would incite violence in a similar way. Like, both sides are willing to take those steps. And when they're really pitted against one another, it's unfortunate that we're seeing
tribalism precedes violence.
Yes,
and that's all of human history, and we're in a very tricky spot right now, because the middle class's power of their dollar to buy things is just collapsing. Things in our younger generations can't even imagine owning a home. All sorts of things that we haven't sort of faced before. And then you put into the mix this polarization, and what disturbs me most, and I fully understand it, Christians are turning to politics to fix their country. Now, that actually seems very logical. And of course, we should vote for people that would support our values and da-da-da-da-da. But that's not the Jesus model. Jesus' model was the transformation of the human heart through the preaching of the gospel and changing people on the inside rather than through the law. The law has no power in Scripture. Its only power is to enforce sin and remind us we're sinners. We're living in a very exciting time, guys, to see this stuff now. Christians reaching out into the state to get control of all levels of government, the courts, so they can make their country the way God wants it to be, that's actually very dangerous.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. We were talking actually just before this interview, we were talking about St. Patrick. And you know, the historical St. Patrick and his exploits and the work that he did.
You know, as a Scotsman, don't you?
Yeah, yes. That's right. A Scots, a non-Irish, non-Catholic, is the patron saint of Ireland and whatnot. But we were talking about how, you know, he was able to see real social and political change in his time through, you know, the stopping of human sacrifice and the stopping of the slave trade and whatnot. But his method was wholeheartedly and entirely to reach the hearts of the people with the message of Christ. And It is such a positive, you know, example and influence for us who are endeavoring and desiring to be Christ-like, to be biblical in our actions and in the way that we go about reaching people. Like, we have such an example there that, hey, if we're wanting to see change, first and foremost, let's be willing to represent Christ in all that we do.
Absolutely. It reminds me as well of John 18:36. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." We sometimes forget that the solution to our planet is not politician A, politician B, or any humanly crafted idea or prince. But the solution to this world, the Bible says, is the second coming of Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can really rule with righteousness and justice. Yep. And unless our hope is there, you know, people can get frightened. But the same psalm that we were reading together, Justin, is as you were talking about the turmoil that's happening over, that's brewing in America. You know, Psalm 2 says, "Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, you know, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us." But then it says here, "He who sits in the heavens laughs, the Lord scoffs at them." God is in control ultimately. And we need to have that reality in mind and be like St. Patrick, you know, to, as you said, to really look for transformation of the heart as a way to transform the world.
And here's the thing. The other side of politics against Trump, they thought the only way we're going to beat this guy, because they can see the people are angry about the economy, about immigration, da-da-da-da, let's prosecute him and put him in jail. Mm. So they're using the law a different way. And that's become very apparent in just this last week. They're all going to fail. They're not even likely to get to court. The only one that was probably likely was a New York case with Bragg, and he's actually said, "Oh, we need more time," which he's bringing the prosecution. So he's backing away now. So it doesn't look like any of these attempts to jail the opposition, which is third world stuff.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And that's making it all worse. It's not making it better. And that's going to actually get that side further away from the populace and what people want by thinking they can use lawfare to stop a political process. Mm. So it's all on like Donkey Kong. And we're coming up to November. Keep your eyes, folks, on Jesus and be kind to one another, whether they have a different political view, a different set of beliefs and values to you. Treat them as Jesus does. He loves them. He would have died on the cross for them. Mm. And we should be kind to our enemies and do good to those who despitefully use us. Mm. That's what Jesus, that's how Jesus wants to change the world, not by trusting in kings and princes that they're somehow going to fix everything, because they're not. Mm.
It's not by might, nor by power, but by my Holy Spirit, says the Lord.
Yep. And Middle East, Ukraine, there's all sorts of stuff going on.
And Taiwan as well. We have to talk about that next time we chat.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Hey, all right. Justin, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We've quickly run out of time.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.